Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's exactly what Paul's going to be doing in today's text. He's going to be retelling or telling his story. Amen.
Amen.
So grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, Amazing Grace. And welcome to 2025. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Lord, we just praise you, Lord. We give everything to you. We give this new year to you, Lord, and ask that you just continue to strengthen us, Lord. Continue to use us all in a mighty way to be a witness for Christ. And Lord, we just praise you for all the blessings you gave us in the past year, and we just lay it all at the cross for this coming year. And we thank you for your word and for the peace that it brings us in our hearts despite what's going on in the world, Lord. We know that we are just visitors here, Father God, and you are preparing us, or you've gone to prepare a place for us. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we praise you for that. And we praise you for this word today. May it change our hearts and open our eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul's farewell is my sermon title, and it's kind of his mindset now that the Lord's spoken to him. He kind of knows he's not going to be coming back through. He's got an idea that his end is near as far as on earth. Amen. And so he's gonna be preaching and talking as if it's his farewell. Amen. So hence Paul's farewell. Go ahead and go to the next slide. Hey, there's truck driver Pastor Robert right there. Amen. My last secular job before I became a pastor was working for this oil company here. They changed the name like four times, but it was West Direct Oil when I left. But when I started working there, if you don't know, and don't be shocked, okay, I was an alcoholic, and I was a drug addict, too. And my faith in Christ was weak at best, amen? But as I grew in the company, I also grew in my faith. And I grew in my knowledge of this business that we were in, amen? And sure, I'd been a mechanic for about 10 years prior to this. I was just there. I mean, the Lord knew why I was there, but I was just there to make some money, get my license back, and go back to turning wrenches and keep doing the same old thing that I had always done. But first, going to this oil company was going to change my life. Amen? And God knew that, and God had put that job or that company in my path. And the first thing God was going to do is he was going to work on my addiction. Amen? So I went there to work in the warehouse, but I'd be given a choice at this job to get a CDL license. Amen. All right? And if you heard my testimony, you know about this, but the choice was going to force my hand at kicking drugs, finally getting rid of the drugs in my life. Amen? Because, and I was going to change my lifestyle forever. Of course, there'd be some bumps in the road along the way, but I was determined that I was going to be successful at this job and in my life, and God was going to make a way. God was going to make a way for me. So I just had to do my part and decide what was important for my life, right? I could have kept doing the same old thing, but I had to make that choice. So I chose a job and a real life over the drugs and the insanity that my life had become. And I wouldn't be standing here, right? I wouldn't be standing at all right now, I'm sure, if I would have stayed in that life. So, amen, right? And a lot of us know that. A lot of us have lived that. And thanks be to God, the Lord has delivered us.
Hallelujah.
But I would also battle alcoholism after quitting the drugs, most of my fellow employees did. For another 8 years, I'd be battling alcoholism. I don't want to go into the story, but we wasted a lot of time doing this. Amen? So God took that away from me as well. All right? God took that away as well. And as I got sober, my job skills were building. But more importantly, my faith was growing. Amen? My faith was growing, and I would meet some fellow employees in the company who were Christians. And they were strong in their faith. And they would later help me to keep my moral compass outside of the church.
Yeah.
Amen. Because this was, I had one foot in the church and I had one foot in the world. Amen. So I started getting promotions at work, and I would go from a truck driver. Well, I went from warehouse to truck driver to dispatcher to dispatch supervisor, driver supervisor, plant supervisor, and then plant manager. I just kept, once I quit drinking and gave my life to Christ, everything was possible. Amen? And it just kept going up and up the ladder, okay? And at church I had gone, at church things were changing too, amen? At church it was the same thing. The Lord was giving me opportunities, and I went from worship team to CR leader to youth group leader and CR leader at the same time, to minister's assistant. I believe I was doing all three of those at the same time, and then to intern seminarian. And I just kept going up. I mean, it's like as soon as I gave my life to Christ and quit drinking and quit wasting my life away on sin and alcohol, the Lord just kept giving me things to do, and I just kept saying yes. Amen? And that's why I am where I am today. It's an amazing journey, and, you know, once I got sober, everything was good, you know? And so over the years, I fought the good fight of one foot in the church and one foot in the world at this oil company. But God was working on me, and I was witnessing to everybody I could. Amen? I was witnessing to everybody I could, and I'd get in trouble for it at work sometimes. Yeah, we'd be holding Bible studies and prayer times at work and sending messages back and forth. And I guess I wasn't really keen, if you will, on how computers worked at the time. So they could see my messages, and they started complaining that they didn't want us sending messages about our religion on the computers. But when people got in trouble and got sick, they knew who to come forward to for prayer, though, right? Right? They complain about us praying, but when they needed it, they knew where to go. So eventually I'd be blessed enough to complete my pastoral degree, and I'd even have a date set to start as an associate pastor for God's church. Amen? And so I would have a retirement date from work as well. And I was so worried they were going to fire me when they found out that I was leaving that I didn't tell anybody until like the last, I don't know, 6 months that I was actually going to quit. You know, I mean, people knew that I was going to be a pastor, but they didn't know I was going to quit my job. So I kind of kept it under wraps. But so I had this retirement date, and, you know, I had a few disagreements, a lot of disagreements with my managers and I was pretty sure that they were glad to see me go at this time in my life. Amen. But on my last day, these elders, if you will, of the company, okay, they gathered and they threw me a farewell party, right? And they had all the decorations up. I didn't put that slide up, right? Okay. But they had scriptures on the walls and they were happy for me and my life and how my life was turning out. So, but this would give me one last opportunity to witness to the people that I had spent a third of my life with. Amen. I had spent 17 years there, and I think I was 51 at the time. So it was about a third of my life that I had spent with these people. Amen. And it was a great time of remembrance and celebration as they wished me well on my next mission in life. So God used that job in so many ways, though, and I see it more and more every year to save my life and to prepare me for this job. Amen? To prepare me to be a pastor, to run a church, right? A lot of the things I ran a plant prepared me to how to run a church. Amen? So God's always preparing us for something. As long as we're living for Him, He's always preparing us for something. And so my farewell message to them was that I was going to continue to pray for them, right? I'd continue to pray for them, and as I moved on to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus had given me, you know, I believe that they were genuinely, genuinely happy for me as I left, amen? And or maybe they were just glad to see me go, I don't know. But it seemed like they were genuinely happy for me, amen? And they knew how I lived the whole time I was with them, right? And I feel that they respected me for who I had become. Amen. Whether they liked it or not, they respected me for the man I had become. Amen? So God is so good. Amen? There were some tears shed that day, but when the day came for me to be ordained and installed in this church, those tears became tears of joy. Amen? It became tears of joy, and because I knew God had been calling me to this for years. And it was a difficult thing for me to say goodbye to my friends and the world, if you will, right? But it was a joyous thing to say yes to the Lord. To say yes to the Lord for the rest of my life and forever. And that's what we all need to do. Amen? Yes. And so every day is a blessing as I serve this church and especially as I serve you guys. Amen? So I thank God for that. God is so good. Amen? And all things are possible with Him. Any of us can go down any path we choose when we have the Lord with us. Amen? So my sermon title is Paul's Farewell, just like my farewell was to this oil company. Okay? And Paul was about to give a farewell speech to some elders as he departed for his mission for Christ. Amen? And that's our text today. So our first verse says that we went on ahead. This is Luke again, talking in the first person, amen? He's with Paul again. He says, we went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard, and he made this arrangement because he was going to be there on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail there from there and arrived at Chios. And the day after, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, okay, to avoid spending time in Asia, or too much time in Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. Okay? You see, Paul was determined to get back to Jerusalem. That was his main focus now. And he wanted to be there. He wanted to be there in time for Passover, okay? Because all the Jewish people would want to be in Jerusalem at the Passover time, amen? So he wanted to be there for the Passover, and he was going to try to make it, but he didn't make it. So now he's going to try to make it there by Pentecost, amen? He's trying to get there 50 days later by Pentecost, and Paul was determined to meet that deadline. So he went from, next slide, he went from Corinth here, okay, to Philippi, amen? And then he's going to go across right here, like we talked about, across the sea to Troas, right here, amen? So he's going to go across, okay? And then, and we talked about that last week, and that's where he's going to give that all-night message, remember? The all-night message that put everybody to sleep, right? And then from Mytilene, then to Chios, then to Miletus, which was 30 miles south of Ephesus, the city he had avoided. Okay, so remember that. Miletus is 30 miles south of Ephesus. The meeting that we are going to discuss today is going to take place in this town, Miletus. Okay, and then they're going to set sail all the way back to Jerusalem. Okay, which is his goal, right? Where Paul's going to be arrested, and then he's going to be on his last journey, if you will, as a prisoner in chains, right? Heading back to Rome, okay? Heading back to Rome. So verse 17 says, from Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church, okay? He didn't want to go to Ephesus, but he was going to send for the elders of Ephesus to come meet him in Miletus, okay? Paul didn't want to waste a lot of time in Ephesus. He knows if he would have went there, it would have been a long stay. So he called for the elders to come meet him. And this place in Miletus probably would have been like a small town, like a beautiful little spot, amen, where the elders would have a quicker stay, just a quick meeting, amen, and then they would disperse. Now it says he had met with the elders of the church. So let's talk about this title of elder, okay? You guys have heard the word before. Some of you may have different ideas on what an elder really is. It can have different meanings depending on what church you belong to. Okay? But the word elder in the Greek is the word presbyteros, okay? Which is the same word we get for Presbyterians, right? That's where we got that denomination, that name, okay? Presbyterians. And so the Presbyterians have an elder rule form of church government, okay? They have elders, okay? And the elder is a reference for them to a spiritual leader in the church, okay? So an elder is supposed to be a spiritual leader in the church. And now some churches may differentiate elders from pastors, like we do here, amen? Because we call our council members elders, all right? But the word elder and pastor should be and were at this time synonymous. Amen? The leaders of the church, the ones that ran the church, the elders were the pastors. And so Paul's going to meet with these elders, if you will, and in being so, they would, of course, be mature men in their faith. Amen? That's the point, right? They were mature men in the faith running the church. And these elders in the church will also be called overseers in next week's text, okay? Overseers. And the Greek, and in the Greek, overseers is called episkopos. Amen? So there's another denomination, right? Episcopalian, right? That's where we get that word from. And this word episkopos can also be translated as bishop. All right? Bishop. As bishop. And that's where Donald got his name from. Okay, so all these words tie in together, though, right? All these words tie in together to a leader. An elder is a leader in the church, okay? And so these elders are the overseers of the church. They don't just preach, okay? They don't just preach. They also oversee the ministry life of the church, just like we do here, right? You oversee Celebrate Recovery, you oversee Bible study, you oversee everything, amen? All of our ministries. And so these are the elders or the pastors and that Paul's going to speak to today in today's text. And he's going to be giving them a farewell speech, okay? And the number one job of these elders, and something I'm sure Paul's concerned with, is the fact that they must be teaching God's complete word to the church. Amen. The whole truth and nothing but the truth to the church, amen? And so as pastors, that should always be our greatest concern and our number one duty, right? To teach the Word of God, okay? And yeah, we do a lot more than just teach the Bible, like small groups, other ministries, pastoral care is all over the place, hospital visits, weddings, funerals, counseling. But all that should come second to preaching and teaching God's Word, amen? That is our number one concern. So, and that's exactly what that the point that Paul's trying to get across to these elders today. He's trying to tell them, teaching should be your number one concern, right? And be sure to be teaching the whole truth, the whole truth. And so verse 18, it says, when they arrived, he said to them, and we're going to stop right there, okay? It says, when they arrived, he said to them, most of the time that we have spent reading about Paul in the book of Acts, we've been talking about Paul the evangelist, right? He's going around evangelizing to non-Christians, trying to get churches started, right? But here in Acts 20, we're getting ready to see and hear Paul the pastor, okay, who's going to equip the elders of the church, okay? He's going to equip them before he leaves. So this is his farewell speech to the elders of the church. Bruce wrote, he said, it is the only Pauline speech delivered to only Christians, which Luke has recorded. And it's not surprising to discover how rich it is in parallels to the Pauline letters, especially, in fact, to the latter ones. Amen. So this is a very important speech. You know, Paul's speaking to the church, the established church, and the leaders in the church. And so the speech starts, okay, verse 18. Once again, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I have lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly from house to house. Amen. The unique thing about this message or this speech from Paul this time is that he's not speaking to or teaching Gentiles. Okay? These are believers. This isn't a Jewish congregation either. This is the leaders of the church. He's speaking to the leaders or the elders. And as he speaks, the true heart of Paul, the pastor, amen, is going to come out. Most of Paul's messages that we've covered this far in the book of Acts have been evangelistic, but this one is different, okay? This one is going to be pastoral. And in a sense, it's equipping the leaders of the church, okay, or the elders. That's what he's trying to do. And this is going to show another part of the truly converted heart of Paul. Amen? He's been converted 100%. And note, these leaders, they were so happy to be invited to this speech. And I told you to note that earlier, that they're going to walk. Okay, everybody walked. Amen? They're going to walk 30 miles to get to Paul to listen to this, to his farewell. Okay, so they walked 30 miles. So it's pretty important for them to meet Paul. And the first thing Paul says to them is, you know how I have lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came to Asia. Right? Paul wasted no time in calling attention to his faithful yet humble service. Okay? And key word, humble. Right? Key words, humble. His intentions here were not to say, look at me instead of Jesus, or look at me instead of anybody. Amen? His intentions were to say, look at how I follow Jesus. Amen. Right? That's what he's trying to say. Don't be like me. Be like you, but follow Jesus like I follow Jesus. And that was true humility. Amen? As he was giving Christ the glory. That's the point. Amen? He was saying, look at the life I've lived, and you're going to see a model of faith in following Jesus Christ. That's what he was trying to tell them. And that's the life that he wanted for them, to follow Jesus unashamed and unafraid despite all the dangers that he knew was coming. Amen? Just as Paul had been doing all along, right? Look at all the dangers he faced. He was being an example. Paul, you see, Paul was well known. He was famous, if you will, at this time. Okay? Everybody knew who he was, but he didn't walk around like a celebrity, right? He didn't walk around, he didn't want people serving him hand and foot. He probably could have got a lot of people to do it, but that's not what he wanted. Amen? He wanted to be the one serving. Does it sound familiar? Amen. Right? Sounds familiar, right? Jesus said the same thing. He said, I came to serve, not to be served. Right? This is what Paul is saying. And that's what Paul did. In verse 19, it says, he served with great humility. You see, he's going to be talking about his preaching here real soon, okay? But first, he's going to remind them that his actions in his life spoke volumes when it came to preaching God's word. And that's the same for all of us. Amen? Our actions, and we're teaching God's word to people too by our actions. People see us, and they want to see us slip up too. Amen. So know that people are watching us. Amen. And of course, this message is going to be important, and it should be a faithfully delivered message as well. Okay, but it's also very important that the preacher's life is an example of a life that's been changed by God. Right? It's not just the words we speak. Right? It's we got to walk the walk too. Right? We have to walk the walk. Our lives should preach to everyone around us. A lot of times, actions really do speak louder than words, right? And or words of faith. It's not just the pastor's job to try and live a righteous life. Amen? It should be all of our jobs. Every believer's job is to live right in the eyes of God. I will have been ordained and installed in the church for 4 years in February, come February 6th and 7th. Amen? Yep. And believe me, it's been a labor of love to serve you as your pastor, and I'm not going anywhere, by the way, just so you know. But there comes a time when a pastor has to leave or a pastor has to retire. Amen? There's going to come a time when we all have to do that. And no one ever wants to see their pastor leave. I would hope not. Amen? But there... I hope not. But there were a lot of pastors here before me. Amen? And I pray that there's going to be a lot of pastors here after me. Amen? And I pray the Lord comes back first, but you never know. Right? But the common denominator should be that whoever's teaching should be walking the talk. Amen? If you're talking the talk, you should be walking the walk. And the same goes for all of us, right? If we're going to be out there witnessing for Christ like He wants us to, we should be walking the walk as well, okay? If we profess to be a Christian on Sunday, we better be one on Monday too, right? Or it's all out the window, right? We got to be a Christian 7 days a week. We should all be an example or a walking testimony, amen, of the transforming power of God, right? We should be a walking testimony of that. But each of us are different. Okay, we're all different, amen? But God uses all of our stories and our testimonies to reach others. I might be able to reach somebody you can't reach. Harold can definitely reach somebody that maybe Don can't reach, amen? We all have a job in the kingdom of God to reach others for Christ, amen? And, you know, and if you can't reach somebody, I'm sure there's somebody out there that can, amen? And that's what God does. He uses all of us, so... Wherever you are, be a witness, okay? Be a witness and share what God has done in your life, okay? No matter how big or how small, God is doing things in our lives. So just as Paul had shared with these elders about his testimony, we can do the same thing. And you don't have to be a Paul, okay? You be a you, amen? God, you can be a Paula, okay? That's close enough. That's what God wants, though. God wants the uniqueness of your faith and your witness. Amen? He wants us all. We all have a job to do in the kingdom of God. So God did a mighty work through Paul to reach these elders, okay? And God can do a mighty work through you as well. And He will. And it wasn't just about the life Paul lived, but it was also about the message he spoke as well. Amen? And in verse 20, he says to them, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you." Right? Anything. That's the key word. Amen? He didn't just pick the topics that were comfortable to him, okay, or a feel-good message for the people. Right? Amen. He would preach the no-fluff truth of God's Word. Amen. Right? And that's exactly what we as pastors are called to do. We're not called to skip anything. We preach the truth without skipping any chapters or any verses. It's called expository preaching, okay? And that's how Paul taught. That's what they're saying here. And that's how we teach here, verse by verse. We don't pick the hot topic of the week, amen? We preach straight from God's Word, and that's how we that's what we should be doing. I saw this thing. Where is it? Oh, preach the truth, whether it fills up a room or clears it out. Either way, amen? Many a times I've been preaching and somebody gets up and just walks out. But it's the truth, amen? And that's what we should be here for, to hear the truth. And, you know, some pastors skip the stuff they don't want to preach about. It might be too challenging to the culture they're living in. Amen? Or it may even be too convicting for their own life. Who knows, right? But you should be preaching the truth. When you preach verse by verse, you don't have a choice. Amen? You don't skip anything. You don't have a choice. It can be a challenge, but it's the truth. And I believe that's the way God wants us to preach His Word. Amen? Straight through. And if your pastor never preaches about hell, then run and find another pastor. Right? Because we need to hear that too. Right. Amen. That's the truth, right? Yeah. It's not even funny. It's not. And so Paul said with great conviction, "I kept back nothing that would be helpful to you," right? The whole truth. Amen. This was the true no-fluff preaching, and he would spread God's complete word, it says, from house to house. Amen. Right? Unashamed, unafraid, wherever he had to go, he was going to preach the truth and the whole truth. unashamed and unafraid. And then our last verse says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Amen. Right? Paul was saying, I didn't just preach to one group or the other. I'm preaching to everybody. Right? Right? Jews and Greeks means everybody, okay? You know, he didn't customize his sermons to fit the needs of certain people, right? And we don't do that either, amen? When you'll hear a lot of people say, wow, Pastor, was Pastor talking to me, right? It's God's words, amen? God speaks to all of us whenever he deems necessary, right? You might come in here one week and say, none of that really applies to me. And the next week you're going to come in here and say, man, God was talking right to me. It went right through me. Amen. It changed me, right? But, you know, it's like we don't, God's word is for all of us. We just have to pay attention. Amen. So he didn't customize his sermons. He said he wanted everybody to come to Jesus, right? That's why the Lord chose him to reach the Gentiles. He wanted everybody to come to Jesus, and he was going to speak to as many of these diverse crowds as he could. Just like Jesus. Paul knew that we all must turn to God in repentance regardless of our culture, our ethnicity, or our beliefs. Right? We all have to. There's only one way to the Father. Amen? Only one way. He let all the people know that hell is real and that the free gift of salvation can save us all, both Jews and Greeks. Amen? All of us. And it was their job. He's telling these elders, it's your job to speak the truth and to speak it in love. Right? That there's only one way to the Father. And so his farewell speech would be that as leaders in the church, each of them should follow his lead and walk the walk and talk the talk. Right? Be a leader by example. Amen. And that's the truth found only in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So his farewell speech would be that, and he'd also say that as leaders in the church, each of them should follow his lead, right? Follow his lead. And, you know, it's the same for all of us. It's not just for the leaders in the church, amen? We should all be walking the walk as we talk the talk, right? Witnessing to all those everywhere we go, amen? So thank the Lord for the work he's done in our lives. Thank him for the work he's going to do in your life. Amen. And thank him for the opportunity to serve the church as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this reminder that we must give it all to you, Lord. Every bit of our lives. That we must be 7-day-a-week Christians. And spreading the gospel wherever we go. And we thank you for the strength you give us to pray for others, to witness to others, to be unashamed and unafraid in spreading the truth. And Lord, may you give us the discernment, Father God, to follow and listen and be guided by the truth. Wherever that may be in our lives, Father God, at work, at home, in church, may the truth change us, deliver us, strengthen us, and heal us. And we pray all this, Lord, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. And amen.